You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, at With Zibby and Tracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Enjoy the show. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you all had a great break. I wanted to let you know about something that I've been talking a lot about on social media at Zibby Owens, which is the hashtag 22in22 challenge. We are at Zibby Books. We are encouraging everybody, like all of you, to visit 22 bookstores in 2022. And we're going to provide a whole series of incentives for every 5 visits, and you'll be entered to win a $500 shopping spree, and you'll get fun things like bookmarks and all the rest. Plus, you'll be part of a great community of people all helping support bookstores, authors, and more. We're really, really excited about it. If you want to join, sign up. You just go to 22in22.net. That's 22in22.net and click I'm in and put your information. And then every time you go to a bookstore, you just quickly go back on the site and click log a bookstore visit. And then we'll be keeping track and we'll be following up with all of your different achievements and awards and everything. So please sign up, spread the word. 22in22, get your friends to join and start visiting bookstores, and it'll be really fun and exciting. So here's to a wonderful 2022. I'm so excited that you're listening to my podcast and doing all the fun things that I have been trying to bring into the world. So here we go, 2022. Hashtag 22in22. Jamie Attenberg is the author of I Came All This Way to Meet You, Writing Myself Home. Jamie has written about food, travel, books, relationships, and urban life for the New York Times Magazine, the Wall Street Journal, the Sunday Times, Slate, and others. All This Could Be Yours was published in 2019 by HMH Books and Serpent's Tale in the UK, as well as in Italy, Germany, China, and Brazil. Her work has been published in a total of 16 languages. Her debut collection of stories, Instant Love, was published in 2006, followed by the novels The Kept Man and The Melting Season. Her fourth book, The Middlesteins, was published in October of 2012. It appeared on the New York Times bestseller list and was published in 10 countries in 2013. Wow, I feel like that just happened. I can't believe how many years ago it was. It was also a finalist for both the Los Angeles Times Book Prize for Fiction and the St. Francis College Literary Prize. A fifth book, St. Maisie, was published in 2015 and has been optioned by Fable Pictures. Her sixth book, All Grown Up, was published in 2017 and was a national bestseller, appearing on numerous year-end lists. Welcome, Jamie. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm so excited to discuss your latest book and all your work and everything.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, first, your latest. Please tell listeners what your latest book is about and what inspired you to write it. And then I want to delve into all the stories and essays and everything because, oh my gosh, so much to discuss.
Okay, well, it's called I Came All This Way to Meet You, Writing Myself Home. And it's really a story of developing a creative life for yourself. And, you know, a lot of it is set in my late 30s and throughout my 40s. I just turned 50 like 2 months ago or a month ago, something like that. Thank you very much. I feel good. I feel good being 50. I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. And so it's really about, you know, it is about being a writer, but I think it's kind of more than that. It's just about sort of uncovering your voice and figuring out who you want to be and kind of the struggles, you know, as a woman and as an American and as like a citizen of the world too. Like there's a lot of traveling all around the world in it as well. And so I think I was like looking back at my life and I was ready to talk about it and the things that I'd learned and the mistakes that I'd made too, for better or for worse. This
There's so much. I mean, first of all, I can't believe how many jobs you have done. Like when I read your first chapter is about, you know, the many temp jobs and things you've fallen into over the years on your way to becoming this creative, amazing author, right? And all the experiences. So that was like mind-boggling. Then your tour over the whole United States in your rattly car, mm-hmm. you know, with your snow-crunching boots and, you know, the journey, the way you've like described the journey in so many ways from like the lens of beds to trips to, I mean, it's just really amazing. And I don't know, from the minute I started reading, I was like, oh my gosh, this book is so good. So
thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, it's not, there's no direct path, I think, to, especially in a creative life. I don't think there's any sort of, no one says, okay, if you just do A, it's not like going to like med school or something like that. Yeah. I mean, not that that is easy at all. I'm not saying that, but you know, there's definitely like, you know what you're going to do the first year, the second year, that kind of thing. For me, I was really just kind of cast out in the world after I graduated from college. And I was like, I don't really actually know what I'm doing or how to become a writer, but I'm just going to kind of fumble my way through it. And I was really inspired by other working artists, like working musicians. That's why I went out on the road so much. I was like, let me just go out and see people and meet. I love meeting people. I love meeting people who love books so much. Like we're all just like the same kind of nerd, you know? So I think, you know, leading any sort of artistic life, any kind of life, really, it's about being curious. And I definitely have a curiosity for the world and just sort of seeing what's out there.
Totally. Are you based in New York? Are you in New York now, by the way?
Sorry. No, I live in New Orleans now. I moved here about 6 years ago.
Oh, wow. New Orleans. Okay.
I was in New York for a really long time and I thought I was going to be there forever. And then I fell in love with New Orleans. So okay. I'm here now.
I just wanted to read, just so that people listening know how amazing a writer you are. If they haven't read, I read The Middlesteins, by the way, when it came out like forever ago. So I was so excited. I mean, to even see you had a new book coming out, but I mean, I know you've had some in between and all that, but you have this one passage about makeup and how being the daughter of a motherless mother that I loved that whole, I mean, it's not an essay. It's like, I don't know how, even how to just chapter, but they feel like essays in a way because they're so self-contained. And
I know it was like people kind of want to call it an essay collection, and I mean, whatever you want to call it is fine. But to me, it just feels like a book of stories about my life.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Thank you for picking up on that, because it is kind of it's a tricky thing, but it's also like just enjoy it.
Exactly.
Embrace it.
Well, I mean, it's also hard. When you think about your own life, like you want to put it all, like if you're talking about a topic, right, you want to put it all in. I'm not saying that very well. Like when I've been trying to write about like my own life, it's like, well, people say like, well, don't like tidy it up with a bow at the end. And I'm like, well, I know, I get it. But like, that's that section. Now I want to move on to like this section. So it can be tricky.
It's really hard to organize. I mean, I wrote, this book was 20,000 words longer, the first draft.
Okay.
And so then I was like, I just have to write it all down. That's what my editor said to me, just put it all down there and then we'll carve out a story from it. And so really there's like a much more X-rated version. Kind of. I mean, whatever, you know, like I'm glad that I wrote it all and got it all down there, but there, you have to sort of, at some point it becomes less about you and more about how are you communicating this story to the world? And what do you want people to take away from it? So that's when it gets tricky, like the putting it into a box kind of thing, because life is not put into a box at all.
Right.
There are no easy endings. There's usually, you don't even get a sense of closure. Like that's kind of the myth that we aspire to, but it's really difficult. But actually you still have to, when you're writing a book, you still have to figure out a way to like present it to the world.
Yes.
It's hard. Writing is hard.
Writing is hard. Yes.
Sorry. I've interrupted you. Sorry.
Interrupted me. What are you, by talking about writing? No, that's the whole point. I love it.
Oh, okay.
No, it's, and writing about your own life is a particular brand of hard, right? I mean, there's fiction, like everybody has their own thing, but when you're mining, the data is only from your memory essentially. And you'd have
are
to,
are you writing a memoir now?
I am. Well, it's coming out in July, so I should say I'm finished. I mean, it is finished. I'm doing copy edits and, you know, I don't know. Yes, but I did it. But I've been writing and rewriting some version of this since like 2003, you know, like, because essentially it's my life, you know, it's like, it just, you have to keep rewriting because new things happen. And
so I think that like, yes, everything sort of can change. Like I had stuff that I wrote about in the book that definitely like changed after the book was done. Like there were new things that happened after. And I was like, well, it was true when I wrote it. Like that became my mantra after I finished and turned it on the copy edits. I was like, nothing I can do now. This was it. And I had to like end it somehow. And I also think that it's good to write about things over a long period of time and then look back at it, because how we feel about things in the moment is so different than how we feel about things in retrospect. And the wisdom that we get throughout the years is really important to having a proper reflection on our lives.
Yes, that's all very true. And yet still very hard.
It's so hard. It's hard. Yeah.
I'm actually terrified to, like, I have to go in and do the edits, but I don't want to read it again because I know I'm going to find like 1,000 other things I want to like totally change. So I don't know. It's like sitting over there. I don't want to touch it.
It's so hard. You just have to say I'm done now, like, and give yourself permission to be sort of done and done with this portion of your life too. And then also there's the thing of like a year after the book comes out, you're going to feel totally, even with my fiction, I feel totally different about it a year later. Whatever I was trying to say then, now I see, oh, I had my blind spots about myself and my opinions and things like that. And so this, I don't even really want to, I'm glad you're going to read from it right now, because I am not ready to read from it.
Oh my gosh. Yet, it's so good. It's so good. There were so many times I stopped and I was like screenshotting, which is like, you know, the electronic equivalent of underlining.
But, I'll take it.
All right. Well, this is just one random paragraph, but I just thought it was so beautifully written. The only kind of makeup I have ever really loved is lipstick. I love all the bright colors, wild, hysterical pinks that turn a dull outfit up, poke a hole in a gray day, or bright, sexy, sultry reds that stain my lips for hours, marked in some way. I like the way lipstick can interact with my eyes, which I feel most of the time are happier on their own, undressed. I like thinking about my mouth after many years of not thinking about it at all. A thing I like on my face, I can confirm it. My mouth. I will decorate that. It took me many years to arrive at that place, to find a thing I wanted to paint. It's so
sounds
good.
Okay.
That was great. That was so great.
I do love lipstick, don't you?
Oh my gosh. I have a few more. I'm going to keep reading. You said, okay. Even when sadness is not stated, of course it can be deeply felt. A shroud of sadness is how I had thought of it. Described it to people as I got older. I just like that shroud of sadness. Oh, okay. Last one. Well, maybe not last one, but something else. You said, there are plenty of reasons why I write. This is just one of them. The sense that I want to own something, own my work, own my creativity, own my name. It is perhaps not the purest reason, not truest of heart, for there is some ego attached to it, but it is real. I own these words. I own these ideas. Here is my book. It's so good, Jamie. Oh my God. How can you read that and not want to like be like, this is going to be amazing?
Thank you. That's nice of you. And you did a very good reading. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I can keep going, but you know, I'm for hire. You know, just let me know. I'll show up next time you go on your road trip around the country. I'm happy to show up. You know, one of the sort of themes, I guess, or from the motherless daughter section of the book, which I found so interesting, right? This whole, like, is everybody nowadays is like inherited trauma, this and blah, 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 blah. But yours is like, what do you do when you grow up having lost something you never even knew? Like, and what does that absence do to your present? And how does that form who you are as like a woman and a daughter when there's this hovering loss? So I don't know, maybe you could just talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, I have, when I write it in fiction a lot, I write a lot about families. That's usually how people know me for writing about these dysfunctional families. And I think a lot about like what we kind of take from our parents and what we blame our parents for and how long we're allowed to blame our parents for anything at all. And so it was, for me, my mother's mother passed away when she was really young. And so she was just, she missed her, you know, I think she missed her. And I don't want to speak on my mother's behalf, but it's something that is felt when someone in your life is like missing somebody else, or you have I think it sort of instilled an empathy in me as well, probably feeling that way about her, like noticing this. And there was sort of like a hovering ghost in a way, mm-hmm. you know, that shroud that you're talking about, like she wasn't there, but like she was sort of felt, or her, the idea of her was felt. And so I think it's about like acknowledging that other person's feelings and sadness and learning from it, but then kind of not taking it on yourself too much. Do you know what I mean? It's about kind of moving on from it. Like every experience in my life, whether it's good or bad, I'm always like, what did I learn from this? And also, how do I get to move on from it too?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hey, grown-ups, the Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, that's... I mean, yes, in calmer moments, that's what I take out of most situations.
Yes. Yeah.
You had a line about your grandmother, and you did this beautiful sort of examination of her photo. And you said, you know, I am childless. And one day, what is going to happen to this picture? It's going to end up in the garbage somewhere. And of course, like, really, all of our stuff is going to end up in the garbage one day. I think about this all the time.
Books behind you on the shelf. I'm like looking at them going, I hope somebody like keeps them. I don't know if you have kids or not, but oh yeah, because it's a mother show. So you have kids.
It's not the mother show.
No, I said it's a mother show.
Yeah, no,
it's a
no.
Show about mothers.
Yeah.
You must have kids. So hopefully they'll hold on to all those books for you.
I do have four kids.
Yeah, it's all just objects. So it's like, how do we like enjoy the things that we have while we're still alive? But also I want to say, like, as a book person, like, the greatest thing about books is that they have like an incredible lifespan, because how many books do you pick up on a stoop, you know, or like check out of the library, live in the library forever, or like stuff that you read in high school that you still remember years and years later. And you know, you can bond with somebody over that kind of thing. You just read Mrs. Bridge. Have you ever read Mrs. Bridge? It's such a good book. And I've had so many people tell me to read it over the years. And I finally read it in my book club that I'm in. And it's like, I think one of the greatest books I've ever read. And it was like published, you know, decades ago. And I just, if it wasn't for this book club, I wouldn't have picked it up. Do you know what I mean? And it's still alive and somebody's still putting it out there. So, you know, objects are, I don't know, they're important, but also... yeah, they can go in the garbage too. Yeah.
I mean, having cleaned out people's apartments, those who have passed away, right, a couple of times, you know, like you realize that everything just needs to be sorted, right? Like once I did that for the first time, I was like, I've never looked at things the same way, right? Because like, I don't want to, who's going to have to go through all this stuff? Like,
did you write about this?
Did I write about this? I mean, I wrote about it a little in my memoir.
Oh, I would write about that.
Yeah.
You could write a... not that I want to tell you what to do, but you could, like, you wrote about a little bit in your book. So like for me, like I'm writing all these essays right now, and there's stuff that I like wrote about a little bit in my book that I'm kind of expanding on to write. And that this is, you know, this is, sorry, this is like business talk, whatever, but
don't say sorry. I love this. This is like my life.
I think you should, when your book comes out, you should write a bigger essay about what you just talked about. And so there's a little bit of in your book, and then I would just like expand upon it and write about it in a really big way, because you kind of sparked up thinking about it. So I feel like there's more to tell in that story. So okay. This is my prescription for you, is to write about, and I would write it for, like, you know, real simple.
Okay.
That's who I would write it for.
I have an essay coming out in real simple, actually, though.
Oh, you do? Oh, well, then.
They might not want me to write another one.
But something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's just like it allows you, it's like an object that allows you to put a bunch of emotions into it, or that idea that, and I can see it in your face. Aww. This is a podcast, I know, but I can see it in your face that you feel something about that. And actually, I've never had to do that before, organize somebody's office or organize somebody's life like that. Tell me more about it.
Oh my gosh. First of all, you're amazing. Second of all, I'm so glad, because normally when I'm interviewing people or, you know, on this podcast or whatever, I'm always the one being like, I think you should write an essay about this. Like, I feel like I'm always telling people, like, you should write an essay about that. And it's, people aren't usually telling me that. So I love it that you said that to me, you know, because it's true. And yeah, I will. I'll write an essay about it. But anyway,
yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
So
why did we even bring this up? Why was I talking about objects?
Because
of what you said about your grandmother's picture. Yeah. And sort of the, how life just sort of passes us by, and what does happen to everything. Right? Anyway, but I think what you're saying too about books being able to transcend time. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about, you know, like pictures and all that, and where do you keep videos and right, all of the changing technology, everything else that is not printed and in hand is lost, right? I'm like, oh no, I'll never lose those emails. I'll just put them in this folder. And now I can't even find the inbox from that computer and whatever. And yet, you know, the letters from my grandmother or the books on the shelf, like, is the only thing that can really transcend time forever and that doesn't get lost.
Yeah, for sure. I've just sort of given up on everything except for my books, like in terms of what I'm leaving behind for my words. Like, I don't, like, I think, like, I have my Twitter account set up to auto delete every once a week.
What?
I've just arrived at a place where I'm like,
I love your tweets,
but I was like, this is not my best work at all. And so I just decided it's not really what I want to be putting out there. Like, I think it's funny and I've had other people argue with me about it. Other writers that are like, that's the whole point of it. It's supposed to be kind of carefree and careless, but I've been on social media for like an online for so many years, like for, since like the late 90s, that's when I had my first like website, blog, online journal, whatever it was called then. Online journals is what it was called then. And I don't know. I just think my books are the best thing that I do. And that's the thing I want people to like remember me for. So, and I put so much work into them and I don't put any work into my Twitter account at all. So it's fun though. I'm not saying Twitter, I mean, Twitter is evil in many ways, but like I have gotten so much out of it and I've met so many people and I talk about it a little bit in the book later on in the book about how I like am able to, you know, how it's expanded my life. All the friends that I've met online, all the other writers, like the way that it's opened up the world to me. Although I will say, to my credit, it's because I'm open to it, right? Like, I think some people can go on social media and it's just this tiny little box and they just want to be stuck in this little box and they want to like gripe, or, you know, it's not, they're not really using, they're using it in a way that is different than the way that I use it. The way that I use it is like, this is just an extension of like who I am as a person and an artist. And I always think there's like this spectrum of writing that I have. And on one end is like a tweet and on the other end is a book. And then in between is like, you know, essays and Instagram posts. And I have a craft newsletter that's kind of in the middle of all of that. And so the stuff that's on the tweet end is like, not great. It's just not great. I mean, it's good if it entertains people, but it's not great. So anyway, it's what you want to use it for. I like to use it to, in a weird way, even though it's just a screen, I like to use it to help me get closer to people.
I don't think that's weird. I think a lot of people use it that way. I think that people are desperate for connection right now. And on the producing side and the consuming side, consumption, production, whatever. Like, I think it helps because like the things you write about on Twitter, I mean, what did you say this week? Is it something like, you know, like I've just had all this coffee and now I'm doing all these emails. And it just made me laugh because that's how I feel too. I'm like, ooh. Sometimes I go on these email tears and I'm just like, okay, I've done like 100 emails in like 20 minutes. What are people receiving the thing? You know, I'm like, you know, so it's that instant relatability, right? Because you're writing about like these little moments, right, that everybody kind of feels and thinks. Or
it's true. Yeah. Yeah. I tweeted this morning that I talked to the guys in the coffee shop so that I would have someone to talk to before I talked to you.
Oh, I didn't want to see that one. Oh no.
I didn't want to. No, because it's, you just never know what's going to come out of your mouth first thing. So you gotta have a practice run first, you know?
So the coffee shop guys were the practice for me. So what did you guys talk about?
We talked about what they did for Thanksgiving. We talked about if they had any plans for New Year's. They don't have any plans for New Year's yet. We talked about Zoom meetings and they're very young. And they were like, every time I look at myself in the camera, I'm like, can't believe how haggard I look. And I'm like, you guys are like, they're like babies. They're in their 20s. They're so cute with their little scruffy beards and everything like that. So we talked about that and that was it. That was enough. And I thanked them. I took a bone for my dog because they have free bones for dogs. Aww, that was my morning.
My dog is right here.
Aw. Buddy. Oh. I love a dog.
My constant podcast companion.
Oh, that's good.
That's funny. So the essays you're working on now, are they for a collection or you're just doing them for fun or you're publishing them one-off or what are you thinking?
I have just like a couple, I mean, I'm working on a novel now, but then I've had to write some essays to promote the book. Right. So I did an essay for Real Simple. I did do one for Real Simple that is about how I threw a a fancy 50th birthday party for myself. I'm really excited about that. I had such a good time at my birthday party. It was kind of wild. Like I had all these people come in from out of town and we were all like, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Because there's been so many things along the way that have gotten in the way. So anyway, that's it about that. And then I wrote a piece for Guardian Books. I don't know if I'm allowed. Well, this will come out after everything's out. So, and that I really love, and it's coming out on New Year's Day.
Aww.
And it's kind of like the book in like a really small 2000 word essay, but it's just about carving your own path. I mean, I really had such a like weird way to get to where I am now, but there really is no normal way to get there. So, I mean, I did all these, you know, I lived all over the country and I didn't really start focusing on my writing until I was in my early 30s. And I did all, you know, I did do all these like millions of office jobs and things like that. And then once I started, I just loved it so much. I mean, it's just like the most fun thing in the world, writing. And I just, all I wanted was just to do that. But even the first couple of books that I wrote just didn't even really do that well. It wasn't until my fourth book, The Middlesteins, that I actually started to like get somewhere with my writing. So where it got recognized in a bigger way. And I finally got my New York Times book review and all those, like I had three books with no New York Times book review. How many books get reviewed by the New York Times?
I was going to say, most people don't get reviewed by the New York Times book review. Maybe people listening, I don't know. I mean, I feel like most of the people I have on the podcast maybe do, but most generally people do not. I mean, you can write lots of books and not get on. So anyway,
it's true. You can be like, you know, sometimes it's fun when like somebody wins a big award and then the New York Times book review has to like go back and like review it because they haven't reviewed it yet, because they're, you know, they have a finite amount of space and everything. All the review sections obviously have like shrunk in the last however many years. I mean, when I started out, my first book came out in 2006 and it was like, you could tour America. It made sense to tour America because all these local newspapers had review sections and you could do local press and you know what I mean? Like there was like so much to do. And now it's like, there's only like, I like to go to all these places. Obviously during the pandemic, you can't really do very much, but I like to go to all of these places because I think it's, I don't think you should have to live in New York in order to have access to that kind of thing. Like I like going to like small university towns and things like that, just to meet people. Also, like if you just were only in New York and LA or something like that, you would just only ever meet the same kind of people. Do you know what I mean? So like, we're supposed to be writing about the whole world.
Yeah. What do you mean? There are more kinds of people? No, I'm kidding.
Well, yeah. Right. You're supposed to like have like an eye towards that. Anyway, I don't want to tell people how to live their lives, but I think it's like important to like see the whole world is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, so you could go and do all these kinds of like cool little events in little towns and you still can really, but in terms of like a New York publisher, they're not going to like, it doesn't feel crucial to them to do it.
You
can't really justify it.
I've started my own publishing company. I don't know if you know, it's called Zivi Books and we announced it in September, but like one of the things, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I wanted to make like the Z-mobile and like tour the authors and like have us all go all over to like all the towns. And we have all these ambassadors and all these places. And I want to go to like have them go or have me go or whatever. And just like, I don't know.
See
what it's all about.
Yeah. Cause it's like, you know what, like Chapel Hill is like so many amazing readers in Chapel Hill. Like anytime I've ever gone there or people that I know there, like they're like psyched to have, you know, people come through. I'm not saying that's a small town. It's a smaller city than New York is all I'm trying to say.
Yes.
But like, there's just people out there who are really like hungering for it. I've done events like literally smallest town and people will drive from hours to go just to like, you know, because they know me from online or they've read my books or whatever it is. Or I do this, like this 1,000 words a summer project that I do that, you know, I've been doing it for like 4 years. And so there's people who do it and it means something to them in different places. So it's, I mean, I can't go to everywhere. And really right now I can't go to anywhere or not that many places, but it means a lot to me when I've gone out there. It definitely means a lot to me when I've gone out there in the world, because it's just my way of connecting, because I, you know, the life of a writer truly is just sitting at home by yourself so much of the time, begging the coffee shop guys to talk to you for a minute or something like that. So, and I don't know, I definitely feel like, not to be cliched about it, but like life is too short not to meet people or to talk to people or to connect with the world. It depends on what you want out of it. But for me, I like to meet people.
I love that. I do too. And yes, I love how you said that. Amazing. I feel like I could talk to you all day, but we're like only have scratched the surface here and I'm like disappointed to have to go and like feel oddly left out that I didn't get to be a part of your 50th birthday, even though I met you 5 seconds ago. But anyway,
you would have loved it. It was great.
I can't wait to read about it. What advice would you have for aspiring authors? And then I will let you go.
I mean, I just think it's like read every day, write a little bit in your notebook, even if you're not like working. I just said that in quotation marks, if you're listening on podcast, like it's good to like connect with what you're working on, you know, be forgiving of yourself when you need to be forgiving yourself, reach out to people. You know, it's important to have a community. You don't have to be on your own through all of this. And I can't tell you like big publishing advice because it's always moving at the speed of light, but I can say that it should not be torture. You should get something out of it that makes you feel good about yourself.
That can apply to a lot of undertakings.
It's just life, baby. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for starting your day by talking to me and the guys at the shop. And this has been so fun. And I can't wait to read more stuff and follow along and keep laughing at your tweets and all the rest. So
thank you, Zibi, and good luck with your new publishing house.
Thank you. And I'll write that essay. Okay. You suggested.
All right. I'll see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibi Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibiOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.